accusation of indifference, and you called for states to uphold their international protection obligations, sharing, not shirking away from, their responsibilities. Many delegations reaffirmed their commitment to the 1951 Convention and its 1967 Protocol, as well as to regional instruments and initiatives such as the Brazil Declaration and Plan of Action. You noted efforts to establish and revise national asylum systems, bringing them in line with international standards. You also welcomed the progress made by the Executive Committee in adopting two conclusions on international protection this year, on international cooperation from a protection and solutions perspective, and on youth, and noted the importance of this process in providing guidance to UNHCR. You underlined initiatives to prevent and respond to gender-based violence and to address the needs of refugee children and those with disabilities. The theme of this year's High Commissioner's Dialogue, Children on the Move, was recognized as timely. On mixed movements addressing and resolving statelessness, a number of states referred to the complex issue involved in addressing mixed movements and highlighted efforts to combat trafficking and smuggling. It was recognized that while migrants and refugees are distinct categories, with refugees unable to return home because of conflict or persecution and holding a particular legal status as a result of that, in practice, the two groups are often affected by many of the same factors. You have welcomed the High Commissioner's decision to deepen engagement with the International Organization of Migration and other partners to address these challenges. The adverse impact of natural disasters and climate change in driving displacement was also raised. Many states made advances in addressing and resolving statelessness in line with UNHCR's I Belong campaign, including through accession to the two statelessness convention amendments to nationality laws and regional initiatives such as the Abidjan Declaration on the Eradication of Statelessness, the Human Rights Council's resolution on the right to nationality, women's equality, nationality rights in law and practice, adopted in June this year, was a positive step. On solutions, I noted that some delegations characterized protracted displacement as the new normal, but also that the need to reinvigorate efforts to find durable solutions was a recurrent theme of our debate. We were urged to support comprehensive multi-year solution strategies, in particular for refugees from Afghanistan and Somalia, and to adopt solutions-oriented approaches from the outset of the crisis. The Solutions Alliance was characterized as a useful framework for global collaboration in this respect. Some delegations highlighted progress with respect to voluntary repatriation, including through tripartite agreements with UNHCR, and called for the involvement of development actors in countries of origin to ensure that return is sustainable. We heard the emphasis you placed on the need for repatriation to be truly voluntary and on continuing to provide protection to those who are unable to return. Several delegations noted efforts to expand the number of resettlement places and provide other forms of admission, emphasizing that such programs should be substantive and not merely symbolic. Progress and challenges in relation to local integration were also outlined by a number of states, and you strongly encouraged development actors and the private sector to support these efforts. On the assistance of host countries, including by harnessing development assistance, the continuing generosity of countries and communities hosting large numbers of refugees in the face of social, economic, environmental, and security challenges was applauded by almost all delegations who took the floor. Several host states drew attention to important initiatives to transition from a support paradigm to one of resilience by providing refugees with access to education, national health services, and the labor market, as well as exploring alternatives to camps and assisting refugees in urban areas. At the same time, many speakers emphasized the need to increase support to host communities. As High Commissioner noted, host states deliver a global public good, and there is an international obligation to help them shoulder this responsibility. There was consensus on the important role of development actors in this regard. UNHCR's strengthened partnership with the World Bank was welcomed, as was the World Bank's commitment to assisting middle-income host countries. Similarly, the pledge to leave No One Behind, as part of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, was cited as an important tool to lift both displaced people and their host communities out of poverty. A blueprint for change going beyond business as usual. If there was one key message per meeting our discussions, it was that business as usual was no longer sufficient to address contemporary displacement challenges. Unprecedented crises require unprecedented responses. The outcomes of various high-level events held in 2016 indeed provide a powerful platform for change. You expressed particular support for the New York Declaration, which reaffirmed that the management of large movements of refugees and migrants is a shared responsibility, and which urged the office to prioritize the development of a global compact for refugees in a transparent and consultative manner. One delegation cautioned that the global compact should promote progress and not open loopholes for conceptual setbacks in terms of refugee protection. More generally, you urged states to expedite their efforts to translate these political commitments into practice. Actions speak louder than words, and it would be necessary for world leaders to make good on their promises, including through the provision of adequate funding, if the declaration is to make a real difference in the lives of refugees. Many of you also welcomed the concrete commitments made by states in terms of funding, resettlement or humanitarian admission places, and access to education and livelihoods at the Leaders' Summit convened by President Obama in September 2016. The Executive Committee reaffirmed its support for UNHCR protection mandate and paid tribute to UNHCR staff working in the front line of the global response to displacement. The five core directions for the office identified by the High Commissioner were welcomed: ensuring the centrality of protection, seeking and leveraging solutions, strengthening emergency preparedness and response, engaging development actors, and working across the entire spectrum of displacement. You particularly underlined UNHCR's commitment to bolstering the collective response for internally displaced persons. You also encouraged the office to continue to partner with government institutions and other stakeholders to prevent the duplication of efforts. UNHCR was urged to develop an implementation strategy for its commitments as part of the grand bargain adopted during the World Humanitarian Summit. In conclusion, there has been a strong reaffirmation of the principle of international solidarity as the cornerstone of the refugee protection regime. There's also an urgent need to ensure that proximity to conflict is no longer the basis for allocation of responsibility. As the High Commissioner reminded us yesterday, almost all countries in the world have themselves experienced displacement at some point in their past. It is incumbent on us to bear this in mind as we work together to respond to today's emergencies with compassion and with generosity. Displacement has moved to the center of the international agenda for the first time in many decades. Significant political courage is needed. It's time to deliver on more comprehensive, predictable, and longer-term response for displaced people and their host communities. This is the summing up, and it's made on the chair's responsibility, and it is not a subject for a long protracted discussion. So I will move on. But before we leave agenda item 3, the chair has received a request from a delegation which wishes to exercise its right of reply, and per tradition, there's a 3-minute speaking time for that, and I give the floor to the Russian Federation.